Good morning, and I'm delighted to be here in Killarney for the Meitheal. It's really one of the most important days in the calendar, a couple of days in the calendar, in the tourism calendar, because it's the largest gathering, I suppose, of we have, I think, over 380 Irish tourism partners here pitching to over 240 buyers and tour operators from over 16 countries. It's like speed dating or blind dating of a very serious level in attracting people to Ireland. And I was over there today visiting, you know, the different, the Ireland's ancient east section, the Hidden Heartlands, the Wild Atlantic Way and Dublin. And I think there's 10,000 over these 2 days. So it's so important to Irish tourism. And of course, it's all the more special this year because we're also celebrating 10 years of the Wild Atlantic Way. And we're really seeing, you know, it's a real household name, but we're seeing how successful it was in hard statistics now and facts. So we now know that there are 2 million more tourists last year visited the Wild Atlantic Way than in 2013. We now know that there's 3 billion euros in revenue every year, and that's an increase of 58% in 10 years. And importantly too, because tourism is so incredibly important to our region.
Just ask you, just on ahead and the pressures, I suppose, that are there, we're seeing some elements of the hospitality industry under pressure. We're seeing some closures of businesses that have been around for quite a number of years. This probably highlighted yesterday by a tweet from Martin Shanahan of Fishy Fishy Cafe and Restaurant Inn, or Fishy Fishy Restaurant in Kinsale. He posted pictures of two suppliers who had increased prices on him on the same day. We're hearing that story. Input costs are going up, cost of business is going up, and some businesses are doing the pressure. There's two things here. Number one, the threat of closure for many. And number two, I suppose, the price increases that will come from that and the danger that Ireland will be seen as an expensive destination for tourists. What can you or what are the government doing to address those concerns?
Well, I suppose in my own area of tourism, I have 10 million euros there for tourism activities and experiences to help them if there's a reduction in tourism footfall. And that's closing for applications at the end of this month, and that's specifically for tourism. General hospitality and food sector services, while aren't under my brief and supported by, I suppose, the new Minister Peter Burke and Department of Enterprise, and I know that department is hoping to bring forward measures to assist businesses with costs, but we have heard and are aware of the concerns and the worries of these businesses, and we want to bring forward measures to as a government to assist businesses with costs. So I know there's the 15 million euro there to local enterprise offices that with Department of Enterprise for payments of up to 3,000 euros for energy efficiency grants in the hospitality and retail sectors. That, you know, a quarter of a billion euro in the cost of business scheme, which will benefit up to 143,000 small businesses. And I believe, it's my understanding, that will start rolling out the beginning of May. I know that Fáilte Ireland provide a range of supports to help tourism businesses better manage and market their products and services. But I would also say, you know, the government has agreed that work needs to be, you know, we need to examine the options relating to employer PRSI there. Yeah. To see is there some relief that can be given there. And also consideration has been given to the significant surplus on the National Training Fund, which is funded by a levy on employers, and seeing how that can best be deployed, because the current balance on that surplus, you know, there's a current balance in that fund of 1.5 billion, and it's growing at about 200 million a year. So let's see, is there a way of using that to benefit employers too?
Okay, can I ask you just on a separate issue then in relation to tourism and tourism accommodation? The European Union voted in favour of the data sharing and the registration of short-term holiday lets during the week. That's something that you're welcoming, obviously. You're going to plough ahead with the bill to try and regulate short-term lets in this country and try and get more of them out of that business into long-term letting. Are you full steam ahead, and when do you expect that to be up and running?
Well, I'd hope to bring the legislation to government over the next number of weeks. What I would say is this is about balancing the needs of tourism with housing, and it has been done in many other European countries, but we're fully cognizant and aware from, you know, talking to the stakeholders of concerns that are there, and we're not going to do anything that will damage tourism in rural communities. So I think housing and Minister O'Brien, they're currently developing the planning guidelines for the short-term letting sector, which will supplement the enactment of our bill. And I have asked Minister O'Brien to publish those guidelines when I publish the bill and bring it to government, because I think we need, you know, I would hope that that guidance will bring clarity and will bring certainty and assist the planning.
Perhaps a differentiation between larger cities and rural areas for the purposes of what you're trying to do? Would that be a possibility?
Well, I think in more rural areas where housing need for the local population is low, and with a view to supporting the economies of local communities dependent on tourism, I think it's envisaged that obtaining of short-term letting planning permission shouldn't be a major hurdle. But I think this guidance, you know, there's an understanding there with Minister O'Brien and myself, you know, that there needs to be it needs to be a considered and an appropriate approach, and we are aware of the concerns there.
Yeah. Would you be saying to those who are suggesting this won't work, what would you be saying to them, that it's not, even if it does restrict it, people are not going to go back into long-term rental because concerns they have of the over-regulation as they see it of that market? Would you be saying, look, we're confident this will have an impact and provide much needed long-term rental for people?
But I think, I suppose the simple matter of the fact is we have a significant housing demand, and not just in urban but in rural areas and of course in and around our beloved tourism attractions. But again, I would say a balance needs to be struck here. Mm. You know, and there is a real thing there, you know, as well, where some hotels are buying up properties even for their own
staff. Because we've seen that
shortage
in Kerry. Yeah.
And we shouldn't forget the financial injection that a long-term resident makes in a community as opposed to just visitors in the short-term accommodation. But as I said, you know, I think this guidance, when Minister O'Brien publishes, will give that clarity and certainty. And it's intended, I understand, to strike an appropriate balance on sustainable management of short-term letting in tourist areas, taking account of local housing demand and need, while also ensuring there are homes returned to the long-term rental in high-demand areas where they're most needed.
Okay, Minister, any progress on the development of an alternative to the licence fee for RTE? The demands of independent broadcasters as well, wanting to get a greater share of government funding for producing public service broadcasting. How go things with that?
Well, as you would have heard the Taoiseach say this week, that we are committed to doing this before the summer recess. And I've always said I'd wait the expert independent reports. I'm hoping they will arrive. They're going through the final fact checking before they are given to me. And when we get those, then we'll move to make the decision. And as you know, I would say for local media and local stations, good stations like yourselves here in Radio Kerry, and for the local papers as well, like we will be, there's a €5 million there in the media fund for reporting on local democracy and court reporting, so we'd hope that roll out this year. But when we make the decision on that long-term sustainable funding model, it's not just about RTE. It is to support local radio, local print, and it's about public service media generally. So we're very cognizant of getting that decision made, because there's a lot of people who need that funding, and never more so in an age where we really depend on excellent service that is provided, like yourselves, and clarity on the facts and information.
If I can ask you one final question on the Green Party, Minister, how are you feeling things are going ahead of the local and European elections? It's 5 candidates running here in Kerry in the various municipal districts for the Green Party. You've shipped a lot of criticism from some rural TDs for some of the policies that are being enacted to try and reduce carbon emissions. In Europe, we're seeing, in the polls at least, a bit of a retreat for parties with green messages and an increase in support in polls, as I've said, for climate sceptic, right-leaning candidates. Are you worried your message isn't getting through, or that you might pay a price in the polls in the locals and Europeans?
I think we have fantastic candidates running over 100 throughout the country, and as you said, some in Kerry too, some wonderful candidates. And I think if you look at what we're delivering, just on a very local level, and you know the passenger numbers on rural local links have exploded over the past 4 years, with you know, and in Kerry, for example, there's been a staggering I think 1,700 percentage increase, going from 13,000 passengers in 2020 to 254,000 in 2023. So that's the real green effect on the ground. And I think Kerry and Galway as well have received 8 new services and 1 enhanced service. So this is I come from rural Ireland myself. I come very proud rural woman of County Monaghan from the Patrick Kavanagh land, and there is no divide as far as I'm concerned. We should never be. Real Climate Action is bringing everyone together on this, and I think rural Ireland is where the real change can happen with the real supports put in place, and we look forward to continuing that. And we did in 2022 cut our emissions by 2%. We'll soon have the numbers for 2023. We're making real progress in terms of our retrofitting program. We're also seeing about 100 homes every day in installing solar panels. You can see what we've done as Greens on cutting childcare fees, what I've done in relation to the basic income for the arts, supporting our artists. And here in Kerry, we have a vibrant artistic community, and what I'm doing to support tourism too, and of course of that RT model. So I think you're seeing real action from the Greens, and we're busy out canvassing right across the country, and I wish the fantastic candidates in Kerry the very best.